My memory goes back so many years ago. It'd be 65 years ago this story is starting to germinate. I was with Montgomery Ward, and I had, at the time, we had a copywriter. And the copywriters, when I visited Chicago, my office was in New York, and I was in Chicago visiting him. And somehow or another, we wound up at a luncheon table together. He did nothing but write those little copy that went into the Montgomery Ward catalog. And he had a club foot. So in the course of the luncheon, he tells me that his wife is dying of cancer, and it's going to be a miserable Christmas for them, because all they have is this little story that he's writing up, and all the three girls sit there on the floor around mother's bed, and they sit there and write this story about Rudolph as a deer that has a club foot and it guiding Santa's sleigh that night. So my thoughts were, I said, well, isn't that amazing? It, your club foot you picked up with yours. I said, well, how about that uncle of yours that you've always told me about, that Irishman that drinks so much that has the red nose? I said, why don't you give the Rudolph a red nose for drinking? It's Christmas time, and that's the Irish enjoying St. Patrick's Day as well as Christmas. He thought, oh, that's a good idea, Dick. I'll go home. He tells his wife that night, he says, Mr. Byrne came up with an idea of, let's put a red nose on the reindeer. He says, she clapped her hands. She says, that's wonderful. With your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? He said, and I thought that was wonderful, a phrase that she thought that up and said, leaned over and kissed her, and all the kids, they thought it was wonderful. And said, from then on, we kissed the club foot goodbye, because you never saw a reindeer with a club foot that could go through the sky like that. So the next thing you know, he takes and refines it. Then I got a copy of it, and I brought it back to New York with me. And I had 11 advertising people in our department there. And I happened to have a meeting and had this in front of me. And I said, you know, we got a guy in Chicago by the name of May that's writing this story. And I told him about the wife really bedridden with cancer. And the only Christmas friend they had was this. I said, do you think you guys could come up with an idea of maybe putting this up in kind of one of those cheap leather-bound things we could buy in Woolworths or Kresge or somebody, let's create some illustrations that would go with it. And they turned around and farmed it. Well, you take page two about this one, and now you're going to have the one about the sleigh jumping over the moon, and you'll do this one and that. And that was, so anyway, they came back maybe a week later and had this thing bound up in a leather-bound thing and put it on my desk and said, what about this? I said, fantastic, just flip through it quickly. The next guy going to Chicago on the 20th Century that night had his briefcase to give to this May. And anyway, John May went absolutely ape over the book that I had created. The name Rudolph came from this German uncle by the name of Rudolph. And that they red nose, and of course, the uncle was also, he was a major part of this because he drank pretty good, I guess, as a schnapps and various stuff. And that all worked out very well. And then that result is that the day, Christmas Eve, the 23rd, really, the day before, she passed away, the wife did. And I was informed in New York as to what happened and so on, and how grateful he was for it. But the story then, I got so emotionally involved in this thing that I went to Sewell Avery, who was the chairman of the board of Montgomery Ward at the time, on my next trip to Chicago, and said, look, we've been giving out sticks of candy, packages of gum at Christmas time, or Santa Claus is on each store. I said, how about if I get this thing printed in a little cheap thing that the Donnelly Press can do for us, or I think something like 3 cents a copy, they could do it. And they wanted to contribute too, without a no markup, no profit, let's put it that way. We'd pay for the paper and the setting up of the press, which the men had to be paid for, and then they'd run off. We thought 1 million copies would be fantastic, you know, that type of thing. Well, I'll tell you, the little thing was only maybe 8 pages of the original story of Rudolph. The Santa Claus would reach down and hand one of these to every kid that came up and told him what he wanted. Instead of giving him candy, he took this little thing home. The store managers called me, and they had store after store asking for replenishment they ran out of these catalogs, and it still wasn't Christmas time, that people got home and they wanted for their sister-in-law, they wanted for the kids or one of these, you know, extra books to give out to somebody. The story was just a, had a human touch to it. So the net result after that, we had to print another, I think the following year, 14 or 15 million copies that we had to pay for. It finally got up to maybe a nickel a copy because Donnelly had to make money on the thing at an extent. But for us, a nickel a copy, the goodwill we were putting out in thousands of stores was just, you couldn't buy that advertising for that kind of money. And we decided not to take any of the patent rights on this at all, that they would all go to May. And then Fred Waring, I was at the Pennsylvania Hotel in New York having breakfast one morning, and Ward's executives were in from Detroit, Kansas City, and Dallas, wherever they were from. And we were sitting at the table, and Fred Waring and some blonde-haired singer he had were having scrambled eggs and milk or something next door, and they heard us talking, and he had just created the song Pennsylvania 65,000. It became one of their hit numbers, and he picked up on this one and asked if he could, if this was a song. And I told him no, that I had no authority on it, that it would have to go through the lawyers and so on and so on. So the net result is they worked out with the Chicago lawyers, and after that everybody got into the act, and they of course all became millionaires based on it. He died May, but his club foot caught up with it. He had the deer, I can remember the original little drawing he had, like on the back of a napkin like this, that showed the deer with his club foot, which was what his was. And that's what the deer was prancing. It was Rudolph and prancing along, and Dancer and all the other animals they named. That all became part of the wife. She got so enthused, but the one phrase that really hit him was, "It with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?" And he attributed that to her entirely, and that became the theme of the, when you hear the song at Christmas time, yeah, it becomes the Santa working out over all the deers and all of them bucking for sergeant stripes. They all wanted to run his sleigh.
Here we go.